listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
Good afternoon, Canes fans. It is the Forza Podcast. It is Saturday, November 21st. Not even good afternoon. It's good evening. It is dusk. It is dark here in South Florida. It's your boy, Marsh. We have not been on the show for about 8 days. Busy week. Busy week. Headlined by my dudes. Big news. Jordan, yeah. What happened to you this week?
I got married. I got married on Tuesday afternoon. Yeah. It's weird, man.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, it is. So
awesome. We could not be happier for you and your new Mrs. Nelson. So
yep.
But besides that, how was your week, man?
It was good. It was good, dude. We did a little like mini honeymoon thing. We just went downtown and stayed at one of the tall hotels. Stayed on one of the top floors. We're just looking at the city lights and enjoying married life and
one.
What was that?
Which hotel?
The Grand America.
Ooh.
Yeah, dude. It was nice.
Love the Grand.
Yeah, my parents were very kind and put us up there for a night. And, it was fun, man. I'm a big foodie, so we walked down the street and found this fusion joint that does, like, Middle Eastern food, Indian food, and fried chicken. It was good. It was really good. Yeah, wow. So dude.
Yeah, it feels like it's funny because we haven't done the show since last Friday, and Jordan and I usually we call about 15 minutes before the show starts and we kind of just go over what we're gonna talk about, and today we haven't talked to, like, it had been a week since we had talked to each other, and we just went on for like 25 minutes and it was it was very pleasant.
Yeah, man, it's it sucks not having you out here in Utah anymore. But I'm pumped for you, and dude, you have some big news too. So I mean, please tell us all about it.
Yes. So very, very thankful and excited. As if you follow the Miami sports scene, you may have seen that Big O has launched a new sports radio station. It's called Onside Radio, and it's covering it's local sports talk because the national flagship stations here in Miami, they don't talk local sports. And so there's this new radio station, and they've got Omar Kelly from the Sentinel. They've got Manny Navarro, who's been on the show. And starting Monday, I will be the co-host of a new show called 4th and 20 with Toast from the Orange Bowl Boys. And so –
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's my dream. I mean, you guys know that all my life I've wanted to be in sports radio in the city of Miami. So what a great week for the Fours Up boys.
Yeah, dude. It's it's friggin' awesome, dude. I seriously couldn't be more happy for you. It's been a crazy year. Like I'm so glad that me and you have been able to share the ups and downs and bond over this stuff and
what a great roller coaster of a year.
Yeah.
Remember our second, I was thinking about this yesterday. Remember our second episode when the fire alarm went off in my apartment? And good times, man. That seems like ages ago.
You were still up at BYU Idaho back then, right?
I was in the snow in Rexburg. Yeah. For the first like 3 months of the show.
So, I forgot about that, man. You're a BYU graduate. You must be a big Cougar fan.
I hate the BYU Cougars. but finally, it sucks because all this is going on, but we also have I think they announced it Monday or Tuesday that, the Canes are rescheduling the last three games. So obviously there's no football tonight for the Canes, and we don't play again until December 5th. It's a strange rearrangement of the games because I don't have it in front of me, but you may know, it's Wake Forest and then UNC – or no. Who do we play?
It's Georgia Tech, then Wake. Oh, wait. Did they flip it?
I think it will go Wake Forest, UNC, Georgia Tech.
Honestly, dude, when I saw the announcement that they pushed it back, like with how crazy life has been, you know, and the Bills have a bye week this week, like I just kind of turned sports off. I didn't even watch any college football today, honestly.
I watched the end of the Indiana Ohio State game.
Yeah.
But I'll watch the Utes tonight because the Utes are playing USC, but they don't kick off until 10:30. 10:30, bro.
Pac-12 after dark.
Oh my gosh. But and Coach Diaz tested positive for Corona. So we hope that Coach Manny is doing well, and we hope that he gets back to full strength and all
the players have it as well.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And it was kind of inevitable that this was going to happen. Wouldn't you say so?
Agreed. Agreed.
I'm getting COVID, but the rescheduling.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we were really lucky. We were one of the few schools that hadn't really been affected by it. A lot of programs started late. Like we started on time. You know, there was only two games where we were missing a significant amount of players, and it really wasn't any like guys that we were hurting to miss that bad. But yeah, I agree with you, man. It was just inevitable that it was going to happen. So
yeah. They're taking the protocol. It's just the facts, but it really does suck because I feel like this team we have not been winning pretty, but I mean, we haven't even talked since the Virginia Tech game. I watched that game at Shenanigans with our boy Petrie and it was a great time. Kane Zeta was there and, also some other Canes fans that recognized me. And so I don't know about you. I had throughout that game, I picked us to lose, which I got absolutely murdered for social media.
Well, according to a lot of our Twitter followers, we're actually a Virginia Tech podcast now. So go Hokies.
That was one of the more strange tweets I've ever seen.
I know, right? It's so stupid.
And but I don't know about you. If we can just talk about that game for a sec. I don't know about you. Throughout that game, it was just slow, and I had no confidence that we were going to win.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I thought. I mean, I predicted a high-scoring game. It was I wouldn't say low-scoring, but right, it wasn't a barn burner.
No.
But that's kind of what I thought, you know? I kind of said, like, we're on upset watch. I mean, we both felt that way. And I said, prepare to be extremely pissed off during this game, just like UNC or just like NC State, because I just had no confidence that we were going to go in there and like have a convincing win. And we didn't. And that's fine. You know, like.
It was a lot different from we just started so slow.
Yeah.
And when Hooker like busted that long touchdown run, when Bubba Polden took a horrible angle. I don't know if you saw that, but I mean, I'm like, all right, bring him down.
I feel like that was arguably Bubba's worst game this year. He kind of struggled a lot.
He's kind of, honestly, if you really look at the film, I was talking about this with some Canes fans the other day, and obviously Coach Blake Baker was asked about this on Monday. One of the reporters asked him, you know, what's up with Bubba? Because since the Clemson game, he is just not the same player.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if the hype got to him. I don't know if we're if it's just he's learning how to be consistent. I don't see him declaring early though. That's just me.
Bubba?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say, man. It's hard to because here's the thing is like we have a culture of guys leaving early to get the bag, right? Dude, I love how Doug put it. He's like that $8,000 signing bonus, you know, like they could take all their guys out to Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever.
it's sad, but it's true, man. Like, I just read this this new book about Nick Saban, and he tells his players, if you're not a projected first round guy after your junior year, why are you leaving early?
Yeah. I agree. And we kind of have a culture of that happening, but you know, Bubba isn't really a product of that culture. So who knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I there's a few guys I was speaking with, you know, one of the friends of the pod, Travis Bruce, earlier today. And we were talking about that. It was like, you know, guys like Brevin, guys like Brevin was one that I actually think Brevin's going to leave early. I don't think De'Eriq King will. But, you know, and then guys like Al Blades, like who knows what happens with him after the year. Yeah. And, you know, Bubba and Jalen Phillips, like it's just hard to say, man. In years past, all those guys go.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. I mean, I get Jalen is a guy that I because, I mean, the way he's playing recently, like he is killing it.
Yeah.
And so I could see him leaving early. But what do you say you talk about our you tell the guys about our boy AB, and then we get into some mailbag questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, our guy AB, Adrian Bistolfi, he runs Stickers by AB. Make sure you guys are checking them out. You know, we did the giveaway last week. That went really good. It went to I can't remember.
Yeah, who went
to. Give me just a second.
Some Canes, a Canes fan one.
Yeah, no, it's a guy that it's one of my favorite people on Twitter. So I can't believe that I'm spacing. It's just been one of those kinds of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that went well. You know, the giveaway thing was fantastic, and then make sure you guys are checking out all of his stuff and use the discount code 4sup. That's the number 4sup. And you can get 15% off. Is it 15? I think it's 15.
It's 15. Yeah,
man, I'm butchering this really bad. Sorry, AB. Love you.
You're good. And I forgot to mention, I got a care package, from AB today with about 5 or 6 awesome stickers. He has that, Sean Taylor one, which is cool. Yeah. Obviously, I think there's one about, like, he made an Orange Bowl sticker or something like that. But, yeah, he does great work. He actually just designed the logo for Toast and I Show. So go check out AB. He does great work, and he's a great guy. So
yeah. Hey, how about you get your new co-host Toast on the show soon?
I would love to get him on. One of my goals for this show is to have, like, a round table show with us and the 3 Orange Bowl boys.
Dude, I would be honored for that to happen.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It just came to me. Ian McAllister. I am such a dork.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, dude. Ian's the greatest. Like, you know, he's been one of the OG 4sup fans. So, Ian, I hope you love the care package, my bro. And, yeah, like, we'll have to do that again with AB soon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of people got into it. So, all right. We are doing a mailbag episode for you guys today. We didn't have a guest on today, but I mean, because Jordan and I, we just wanted to talk with each other. I mean, we missed each other. So we're doing old school, man.
Yeah, let's do it, man. So first question kind of goes with what we've been talking about. So let's dig into this a little more. Odds De'Eriq King and Brevin Jordan come back. So rather than setting odds, let's just talk about it.
Yeah. You go first.
Okay, so I personally think, I guess this is the opinion that I've held most of the season. I think unless De'Eriq King gets word from an NFL team, like, we absolutely love you as quarterback, and you will be a day one draft pick, you know, unless that happens, I don't think he goes.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, he's been a great college quarterback for us this year. He really has. I have no complaints about him. But when I watch De'Eriq King, I don't really see an NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I hope for him that changes and that he can, you know, do whatever he wants in his career. Cause I really appreciate him and his talent, but I'm not seeing it yet.
Yeah. Cause the height thing is the biggest issue. I mean, and you know what's funny? I love De'Eriq King. He is honestly one of the best things that has happened to this program in 20 years, probably.
Agreed.
Not just as a player, but just as a person. He's just a good guy. Yes. And it's funny that they have him listed at 5'11", because he may not even be 5'9".
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. I mean, he's probably between 5'8 and 5'10", if I had to guess. Closer to 5'8". Maybe even 5'6", who knows?
A lot of people are going to say, oh, but what about Kyler Murray or, you know, Drew Brees? I'm like, those quarterbacks, those shorter quarterbacks who make it in the NFL, those are a dime a dozen. And that's not like it's a regular thing that's going to happen. That if it happened more and more, it wouldn't be a concern, him being 5'9.5".
Yeah, I mean, Drew Brees is going to go down as like a top 7 QB all time. And Kyler Murray is like – dude, first of all, Kyler Murray has a rocket attached to his right shoulder, and he's arguably the quickest feet in the NFL right now. So, like, no disrespect to De'Aaron King, because I agree with you. He's the best thing that's happened to our program since 2005, no doubt. But he's just not on Kyler Murray's level as a prospect. You know, he's not as fast. He's not as quick. He doesn't have the arm. He doesn't have the accuracy. That doesn't mean that he's going to fail in the NFL though. Like, you know what I mean? Just because he's not as good as Kyler Murray, that doesn't mean he sucks. It just means that he's not going to be the number one pick in the draft.
Exactly. So, I mean, personally, I don't think either of them will come back, sadly. But I think it's more likely that King comes back than Brevin.
Agreed. So,
it sucks that this is going on with Brevin, because his talent is just so incredible. He has first round talent. He was a project like for the 20 after his true freshman season in 2018, they started to do like mock drafts for, you know, like the younger players in college football. And the early mock draft for the 2021 draft had Brevin as like going number 15 overall. And this was after his freshman season.
Yeah.
And it's just I think he will leave. I think it's just if he leaves after the season because of the injuries, I don't think he's a first rounder. And I just think it sucks. It's a shame because he's the kind of guy that needs to come back next season just because for his draft stock. But he's also a leader. He's a leader in that locker room and guys look up to him. And I don't know. So.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I actually would – I think it's a very safe bet that Brevin's gone. But, you know, do you think I can play devil's advocate without getting a bunch of backlash on Twitter?
Have we ever cared?
That's a great point. Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit better – or a little bit right now. Is it a guarantee that Brevin is our best tight end next season if he comes back?
No.
Nope. Agreed. I actually, as time goes on, I'm actually starting, you know, we've talked about Will Mallory being a better pro tight end. As time goes on and Mallory gets more comfortable, I'm actually starting to think he might be a better college tight end too.
You know what's crazy? If they both declared early for the draft right now, who's to say Mallory wouldn't be picked ahead of Brevin?
That's a very interesting point. I think, I mean, maybe Mallory would be like a combine hero. I just wonder if he's gotten the exposure, you know, because I don't even think people are putting him on the draft boards, even though he's eligible. But, I mean, you're right. Like, just from a measurable standpoint, if we're talking strictly measurables, he is a preferable prospect to Brevin. He's taller. I mean, honestly, when he's running down the field, he looks every bit as quick.
Yeah.
And he's bigger. And, you know, like he also does better with jump balls, too. That's kind of Brevin's big weakness is like 50-50 balls do not go Brevin's way.
Yeah. And Mallory's just an athletic freak.
Yeah.
Brevin has great I think Brevin has better hands. He's probably a better blocker, too. But what you want as in a pro tight end, like you draw a picture and it's Will Mallory.
Exactly. I mean, I think sky's the limit for Will Mallory. I think sky's the limit for his potential in the NFL. You know, it's going to depend a lot on the strength and conditioning and the coaching that he gets. But like you said, prototypical size and speed, and you know, he it really would not surprise me if he becomes a Pro Bowl tight end.
I don't think the odds are that high that either of them come back next year.
Really? You don't think Will Mallory's coming back? Or are you talking King?
No, I was talking about King and King and Brevin.
I got you. My mistake. I think for that reason, like, you know, like Brevin, who knows if he's even tight end number one on this team next year. So I don't know, man. Anyways, on to the next question. Let me pull this up. Go ahead.
When used to the extent of the weapons we have, I mean, both of them could have tight end. They're by far our two best pass catchers and threats in the passing game. So
agreed.
Yeah, I don't think, but to answer the original question, I don't think King or Brevin Jordan come back. So
okay, and I do have King coming back. I do not have Brevin coming back.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Yeah, right. Okay, so this is from our guy Ethan, regular contributor here to the mailbag. Okay, what do you think our record is next year if we King but keep all of our coaching staff? Let me pull up our non-conference schedule for next year.
The only thing that matters is Bama. I think we have Michigan State at home.
Yeah. Let's see. I think you're right. I think we do have I'm pulling up fbschedules.com. So hopefully. Yeah, so our non-conference is Alabama and Atlanta. We have Appalachian State.
A little bit.
What?
You keep cutting out a little bit.
Okay. So we got Alabama and Atlanta. We have Appalachian State. We have Michigan State. And we have CCSU. I think that – who is that? Is that Coastal Carolina?
I think that's maybe Charleston Southern.
Central Connecticut is who they have.
Hell?
Yeah.
What? I've never even heard of them.
That's I mean, apparently we're scheduled to play them September 25th next year. So I mean, that's according to fbschedules.com. I don't know how accurate that is.
Well, and honestly, let's think about this. Bama, we're not winning that game. Michigan State, it could be tough. App State is a solid team too, so that's not an easy non-conference schedule. What was the question? If King leaves, but the coaching staff stays?
Yeah. So we're talking a Tyler Van Dyke team with Rhett Lashley as offensive coordinator, or Nakozi Perry,
or whoever we get in the transfer portal.
Yeah, hopefully Tyler Van Dyke. I really hope Tyler Van Dyke. If it's not Tyler Van Dyke, we're in trouble, honestly.
I think even with Tyler Van Dyke, I think there will be some hiccups. Like as a redshirt freshman, that's a young quarterback. Obviously, he's a very talented kid. I really like Tyler Van Dyke. I was excited when he came over from the East Coast, and I think he has a really bright future. I just don't think it will be as smooth in the beginning as Canes fans are picturing in their mind. Does that make sense?
It does, and I agree with you, but what I mean by that is, like, if we go through spring camp and fall camp and we're like, oh, we're not sure if Van Dyke is ready to take it from Cozy Perry, I'm going to be really worried.
Yeah.
You know, especially because who knows if we even take a quarterback in this cycle. And then it's like, oh, man, we really know what we have from Cozy, and I love Cozy. But I feel like, I mean, you hear about like replacement level stats, right? Yeah. Like wins above replacement level or whatever. I feel like Cozy Perry is a replacement level college quarterback. Like he is average. He's very vanilla. And that's no disrespect to Cozy, because I love the kid. I'm proud of what he's done here in terms of becoming a leader and working hard and staying out of trouble and stuff. But like, I don't get excited when I hear that Cozy's going to start.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. I think it's all.
I'm not even trying to say he sucks. I'm just saying it doesn't move the needle for me.
Yeah, I think you're making a really good point, honestly. But I would slow down, and I want to see Cozy more in this offense. Because think about Joe Burrow's first year at LSU.
Yeah.
Or second year, I think he was there for 2 years. And, you know, he wasn't in a kind of offense that fit him. It was more of a, you know, pro style. And then he gets with, oh my gosh, what's Joe Brady. Joe Brady comes over. He's the passing game coordinator. You know, they're passing the ball over at LSU. Look what turns into Joe Burrow. So I'm just saying, with Rhett Lashley, I think we could see a whole different N'Kozy Perry.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. And honestly, I hope that happens. But, you know, the chatter this year has been that, like, it's an open competition for two. You know, like, Tyler Van Dyke is pushing Cozy. We saw Cozy a little bit. I wasn't super impressed. I mean, obviously, like, his sample size is probably just 10 snaps or less. So you can't really write a book on that. But I don't know. I'll be very underwhelmed. If we go into week one with Cozy starting, I'll just be kind of like, like I'm prepping for like 8-4 that year, you know, if that.
Yeah, because FSU is going to be Tallahassee. You play Bama in Atlanta, which is a loss. You don't know what Virginia Tech is going to be looking like. UNC, you know, with Howell, he's going to be a junior at UNC too. So, but the thing is, it also depends who comes back. I know the question is, if King doesn't come back, but what about Jalen Phillips? What about Bubba Bolden? What about, you know, all these other players? I think the goal should be 9 or 10 wins. I don't know if we could get that. It's just honestly, it's so early to see. Yeah. Like,
so I got a question. Here's my mailbag question. I mean, I've gotten in trouble a lot on Twitter for saying that the team hasn't been necessarily meeting my expectations of what we should look like this year. What do you think the expectations are? Like, what is a accomplished goal for you for this Canes team?
For next season?
No, for this season. Like what was your goal for this year? I know you predicted a 2-loss season, so 9-2. Oh, you predicted. Yeah, that's right. I predicted 9-2, and you predicted 8-3.
Yeah. Obviously, I wanted to see more wins. I wanted us to be – it's a long list of things. But I just wanted to see improvement, not just on the field but around the program. I wanted to see I wanted to see optimism again surrounding UM. And so – and a bowl win. I want a bowl win if we get to that point, because we've won maybe one bowl game since 2006. So I don't – yeah, I wanted – I predicted 8 wins, and we are at 7-1 right now. So I am I'm happy with what we've had this year. It's a completely different team than last season.
Yeah, I got you, and I think that's important though, is to like state the goals, right? Because when you give a take, right, it's all relative to what your expectations are, you know. Yeah. So because I've been talking with some people on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, man, like I'm really upset with how the defense is playing. And they're like, what are you talking about? We've already won as many games as last year or more games. And I'm like, well, like that, it wasn't my goal to go 500+1, you know, like that wasn't my goal for this year. But like, if that's your goal, then that's fine. Right. So, so when people are happy about just being better than 500, like that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's all relative to your expectations. And honestly, my expectations with how loaded we were, it was my goal for this team to have a crack at the ACC championship game and to make a New Year's Six bowl. And so, you know, when my criticism comes out like, hey, man, our wide receivers aren't doing enough. Our corners ain't doing enough. Our linebackers ain't doing enough. You know, the defense isn't doing enough. The offense isn't scoring enough. That's with the goal in mind of reaching the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I'm not saying that we suck. But you know, the last three games have been kind of rough, man. Like we aren't winning convincing. And what I don't want, because I don't want us to back into the Orange Bowl, you know, like accidentally fall into the Orange Bowl and then just get our cheeks clapped by Wisconsin again. Like that'd be embarrassing, man.
Or the Gators.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? Could you imagine
Kyle Trask would do?
Could you imagine if the Gators put up 50 points on us in the Orange Bowl?
In our own stadium.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, dude, with how our defense is playing versus Florida's offense, I think we could compete with them. I think we'd show up. I think we're mentally tough enough that we'd, like, you know, just like last year, right? We showed up and we played a better game against Florida than probably anybody else that whole season.
Yeah.
And I think we'd do that again. But, dude, our deficiencies on defense would not be good for the way that Florida's offense is humming right now.
Oh my! I watched the Gator game last weekend, and I'm like, and we have an explosive offense, but that offense at Florida is insane. I mean, you just got to give it to Trask, man. Trask absolutely is so good.
He's a baller. He's really good. And yeah, I mean, I saw a video earlier in the year of him and Derek King and some other quarterback throwing and I honestly thought to myself, like, man, Trask throws the best ball out of those three. Just the way it comes out of his hand, like, it's a rope, man. He's going to the NFL for sure.
Oh, he's a first rounder.
Yeah.
He is very good. But, I mean, my bottom line is, yeah, we're not winning convincingly. But just like Gabby said last Friday, I mean, I'd rather win ugly than lose pretty. And so, yeah. But, and even if we're not, you know, blowing these teams out, like I have to remind myself all the time, like, wow, we are 7-1 right now. There have not been many times since the early 2000s where at this late in the season, we have a record like that. I mean, you have 2017 and then you have 2013. I think we started 7-0. Besides that,
You there, Marsh? You cut out a little bit.
Was the last time we were in this position?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. And I think the problem, and myself included, because this is my biggest problem, is I think as Canes fans, we all have PTSD, right? Like, things don't go well for long down here, at least in recent memory. And, you know, even in the 2017 season, like, we went 10-0, but really we all walked away from that season like feeling disappointed, even when we started 10-0. And for good reason, right? Because we just completely fell on our face and gave away three games straight, including one to friggin' Alex Hornibrook in the Orange Bowl, which I still am bitter over, but whatever.
I watched that game and I was so mad. Well, I was so angry.
Yeah.
Watching Hornibrook us.
Oh, dude, he picked us apart, man. And like, that's kind of how this year is feeling to me. And I just don't want to walk away from this year and be like, man, like, I just don't want to walk away with 9 wins.
Is the next question.
What was that?
Yeah, sorry. We're having some technical difficulties, I think. I was going to say, what is the next question?
Okay. Let's see. What's going on with the ACC championship game and what do we need to happen to get in? So, dude, honestly, it sucked that Notre Dame won, beat Clemson.
Yeah.
That was not good for us.
No.
So essentially what we need is we need Notre Dame to lose two games or we need Clemson to lose again, which I don't think either. Yeah, neither of those are happening, dude. So, I don't know. I think right now, I think we kind of got to give up on the ACC. What was that, Mark?
If we zoom and we finished and people are mad that we're not, like, that the people are calling this season a failure because we don't get to Charlotte, but we still have a 10-1 record. Because you know that would happen with Canes fans.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't. I mean, I know I just said that, you know, my goal was to get to the ACC championship game. However, if we go 10-1 and we don't get in, like, I feel like we took care of business, right? And the cards just didn't break our way. So I wouldn't be mad about that.
Yeah. Because the only way you could be 10 wins.
Yeah. Like, if you go one loss and your only loss is to a number one Clemson, like, you can't ask for more than that. So if we don't get in, that's just
bad. That would be amazing. I don't care. Little technical difficulties. It happens. It happens. And so what were we talking about?
We were talking about going 10-1 and not making the ACC championship game.
Which I'd be fine with.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you can't control that, dude. Like, we can't make Clemson beat Notre Dame. So, you know, like, I don't care.
And we're not as good as either of those teams anyway. So,
no, we're really not.
People are just, they just need to be more grateful. Damn it.
right.
Just be happy. I mean, just realize where we were last season and in December and think about where we are right now. I mean, yeah. Think about the class that we have and the kids that we have coming. Like, we got James freaking Williams coming. We got Leonard Taylor. And we are building something at Miami. So
I think we should all take confidence in the fact that, like, I know Manny kind of can get flack for being a politician or a salesman or whatever, you know. But his plan is working so far. Like, everything is going according to the plan that he has laid out publicly, right? He said that we're going to get some good culture guys in the locker room, that these recruiting classes are going to be full of talent and, like, good character, and they have so far. So
100%. 100%. Okay, what is next?
Okay. What is the one thing that can be most improved in this time off?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we are who we are at this point, honestly. I'm not sure that there's much that's going to change. You know, I feel like our offensive line has showed that, you know, maybe they, you know, our offensive line has regressed a little bit. Our defense is who they are. Like, they are a bend don't break defense. It's going to give up a lot of opportunities to the opposing team. And honestly, they're putting us in, like, the position where we just have to outscore other teams.
Yeah. I think it's just a weird team because the offensive line as a whole has, you know, they've been up and down, man. Like, I think Zion Nelson is really playing well. I think Corey Gaynor is playing well. Our defensive line is getting it together. Jalen Phillips and Roche are literally tearing it up. But yeah. Then you have Bubba Bolden, who's struggling. You have Al Blades Jr., who lost his starting job. Could you believe that?
That was surprising. I will say that Ta'Cory Couch earned it, but it was still surprising nonetheless.
Well, would you have, in the offseason or even after the UAB game, if I would have told you that midway through the 2020 season, Ta'Cory Couch would be starting over Al Blades instead of someone like DJ Ivy, would you believe me?
Honestly, I would believe you more than if you told me after the UAB game. If you told me after the UAB game that happened, I would be floored. But in the offseason, I kind of had no expectations for our cornerbacks.
Well, I mean, I haven't really been rewatching the games just because I've been busy. Has Blades really been playing that bad?
I mean, he has been turning his head around, and that's been a problem for a lot of our dudes. You know, like, we saw that early in the season with DJ Ivy, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, Couch struggled with a little bit. Like, that's kind of been a recurring thing. I don't know if I'd say that Blades has been struggling so much as, like, I feel like Ivy and Couch are just playing better, mm-hmm. You know, because we've kind of lacked a star at corner. I feel like all of our dudes, I mean, I'd probably give that position group like a C plus, maybe a B minus on the year.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like Couch and Ivy have elevated their games to the point that, like, Blades was just sagging behind right now. Now, I wouldn't say that he's been terrible.
No, yeah, he's definitely not terrible, but yeah. I guess the big drama going around the last, I'd say, 48 hours, did you see Al Blades' tweet or whatever he sent?
I did. I mean, I was on my honeymoon, so like I wasn't really plugged into Twitter, but I saw the drama that was going on.
Well, because I'm blocked. What did it, he blocked me. So what along the lines was it saying?
So it was something. I can't even remember it well enough to paraphrase. It was something that might lead people to believe that he was upset about his role in the football program. You know, and then he claimed that it wasn't even about football, which could be true because it was very vague. You know, so there's a chance that he was talking about friends or girls or whatever, right? Like, it wasn't explicitly about football. But I don't know, man. Like, it wasn't bad enough for people to start dogging him. I didn't really get that. Like, there was a lot of people that were going after him and tagging him and stuff. And, like, like, until there's news, like, well, first of all, never tag players in negative tweets.
Oh, my gosh. That is one of my biggest pet peeves.
Yeah, they're not professionals, man. Like, and, you know, and I don't even tag professional players in negative tweets, really. Yeah,
it's not like, what are they going to do? Like, what are you going to do? Like, getting a back and forth with Tom Brady or, like, what are you hoping? Mean,
like, the only exception is Gordon Hayward, but nobody else deserves that.
Yeah. But, yeah, and people started, like, DMing me and goes, like, oh, Blades is gone. I'm like, why do we like to speculate about everything?
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as I know, Blades is not gone. There's not, like, that's a nothing burger. And the way that I view it, like, let's give the kid a break until there's genuine news. Like, I just don't really want to, like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to fuel that fire at all until there's genuine news. Like, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing going on. Like, he got benched, you know, like, it probably sucks. So let's give the kid some space to be upset that he got benched.
Yeah. And come back and play better. Like, don't use this as a positive.
Right. Like, it sucks getting benched. Like, it probably felt like crap. You know, who wants to get benched? Mm-hmm. So,
well, I mean, and especially like, because Blades is different than a lot of other Miami players just because of his family history and everything like that. So it sucks, but, because Patchen was the same way. Patchen was a legacy. And, but you got to play the best guys, and you got to give it up to Corey Couch. He is a baller.
Yeah, Couch, I mean, you called it, man. Couch has been our best cover corner. Ivy has really played a good season as well, you know, especially considering where the year started for him. But, dude, Couch, you nailed it, man. He's our best cover corner.
So I think to answer that question, like, what can we do to, you know, to improve during this time off? I think it's just stay focused and don't let the record go to your head and know that, you know, like, as of right now, we are planning on playing the rest of the season. So don't get it out of your head that, you know, there's still work to do.
Yeah, I would agree, and that kind of goes with, I guess, what I'll say is that we need to, like, recenter, refocus, like what you're saying, because we need to stop playing down to our competition, because one of these weeks we're going to lose. You know, I'm tired of beating Pitt by, what was it, 5 points, beating Virginia Tech by 1, beating, you know, NC State by 3 or whatever. I can't remember the exact totals, but, like, I'm tired of that. We're better than all those teams. So
we are. But what I keep telling people is that I knew that, like, I know that this team, we're not a top 10 team. We're maybe in the 15 to 20 range. And I was expecting close games. Maybe I wasn't expecting like a 5-point win over Virginia, but I knew Pitt was going to play us tough. Virginia Tech usually always plays us tough. That's why I predicted us to lose. Yeah. And NC State on the road at night, like, I knew that was going to be a tough one. So, but we are winning these games finally. I mean, think about it, like, 2 years ago when we go up to Boston College on a Friday night. Clearly, we are better than them, but I knew we were going to lose that game. Yeah. And, like, so
– I mean, I get you, but, dude
– we're learning how to win.
I get you, but, man, 3 of those 4 games are backup quarterbacks, Marsh. Like, I just want to pull my hair out. It's like, yeah, if they're full strength, then okay. But really, 4 in a row and 3 of them – our backup quarterbacks, is like, give me a break, guys.
Yeah, and like, you know what? You know what's I'm not surprised that those games were that close. Like, it did not it shocked me that we won by 13 at Louisville.
Yeah. Yeah, I just man, I feel like this team is like the slacker kid that has all the ability in the world and just does barely enough to skid by. Mm-hmm. And that bugs me. I think that is my biggest problem with this team.
Because, well, and they're being dragged by about like three or four players who's like doing like carrying the team. You got King, yeah. BB Mallory, Jalen, and Bolden, and the rest are just along for the ride. It seems.
You mean a whole bunch of kids from not South Florida that transferred in and aren't a part of the garbage culture that we have on the team?
We should only recruit in the county of Dade. I don't want anybody else.
Yeah, dude, it's not going well for us. Like, recruiting in Dade and Broward, not going well for us right now, man.
Except this class. We have done a really good job this class.
Agreed. And that's not perpetual. I'm not saying that forever, right? I'm just saying, like, that has not gone well for us on this current roster. Because, like you said, our team is being dragged forward by a kid from Houston and two kids from California. Or I guess, you know, one from California, one from Las Vegas. Like, you know, there's nothing Dade and Broward about this team that's helping us.
Yeah, I mean, the one big play a game that Nesta makes, that's big. Gilbert Frierson, he's a Dade guy. He's been
huge.
Been a pleasant surprise. But yeah. No, you're completely right, man. Even Brevin he's a Vegas guy. Will Mallory is from like Duval. So
yeah.
I admit, like, one of my big greatest pet peeves is when people get mad that we are not going after every kid in South Florida. I'm like, well, it's not some of our greatest players in the history of our program, Ken Dorsey, Reggie Wayne, Ed Reed, all these guys, they're not from Miami.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I honestly don't care where a kid is from. I just want them to be good. And I want them to have like a good head on their shoulders, right?
Exactly.
And like, I really don't care where they're from. They could be from Utah, California. They could be from Dade and Broward. That doesn't matter to me. And maybe I'm in the minority because I'm not from South Florida, and that's fine. Like, it's not worth fighting any Twitter people that have beef with that. but what I'm saying though is like, we need to figure out this culture, because you're right. Like, we are being dragged to these wins by three kids that like are new to this program. They aren't a part of this program, and that is so terrifying to me. I am a pessimist. Like, that is fine. However, what happens if the transfer portal doesn't exist? Like, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it's just that these like and I like. Some of the South Florida attitude is really, really annoying. And I love that these portal kids have come in and they have made the biggest impact.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's humbled the Miami and Broward guys. So
I hope so. But you know, our team kind of has the same diva attitude. It's like, whatever. Like, I'll just, you know what? Oh, NC State's going to score 41. Okay. I guess we got to score 44 today. It's like, dude, why not just score 70? Like, you're way better than them.
Yeah.
Why not just play hard all game? Why not just do your assignments? Why not, you know?
Why not stay after practice on the jug machine?
Exactly. Like, we have so much more talent than these other teams. And, you know, I don't think that we're as talented as teams like Notre Dame and Clemson. We're not. You know? However, we are more talented than Virginia. You know why? Because Virginia just lost half their team last year.
Yeah.
You know, and we were probably more talented than them last year too. But they just lost half their team. You know, we are more talented than Virginia Tech, who's missing half their team to COVID. We're more talented than NC State's backup quarterback. We're more talented than Pittsburgh's backup quarterback. Like, that's what's bugging me is, guys, go out there, play hard, and play to as good as you are. Because, dude, that's the benefit of having all these Dade and Broward kids. There's a lot of extremely talented athletes and just talented players on this roster. You wouldn't even know. You wouldn't know sometimes watching these our guys, because like we're beating the backup quarterback of Pittsburgh by 5 points.
It's just such a lax culture. It's changing for the better. I think we can both agree on that. But it's like if when you have like your veteran wide receivers and everything say that they weren't staying after practice, like that, you're not – how do you expect to win?
Yep. And you know, Hartley has earned my respect since then because he's like – he stepped up. And that's all I asked for, right? All I ask for is that people step up and do it. But, dude, come on, guys. Like, that's the attitude that we're talking about right now.
Stop worrying about what Canes fans are tweeting. Stop posting pictures at damn gas stations. Go work. Like, exactly. You got me on a tangent now, man.
Well, I mean, that's what I do. But that's the kind of culture that gets passed down through the generations of Canes players too. Because I mean, think about it. Okay, say that you're, you know, Dazlin Worsham or you're Xavier Restrepo. I mean, I don't think Restrepo would buy any of this anyways, because he has too good of a head on his shoulders. But you know, let's say you're a true freshman wide receiver. I shouldn't use names because I don't know any of these guys, right? You're a true freshman wide receiver. You show up and you're at practice, and then the senior classmen are like, "Hey, let's all like practice is over, let's leave." And then you're like, "Hey, well, aren't we gonna hang out and work on the jugs?" No, we don't do that here. Ugh. It's like, well, guess what? You just established a habit for the whole wide receiver room, the whole freshman class for the rest of their career.
If they see the veterans guys not doing like putting in the extra work, then they think, "Oh, it's okay."
Exactly. And that's what happens. The captains of that position room are like, "No, we don't need to do that here, man. Like, we don't do that. We don't put in the extra work because it doesn't matter what they're going to do, honestly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
For 2 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all I'm saying, though. That's what pisses me off the most. You know, respect to Mike Hartley that he's gone for 300 yards in the last two games or whatever. Like, that's great. But, geez.
You know what? That's why I love Jimmy Murphy. Like, yeah. I'm not going to say give me a team full of Jimmy Murphys because we may go 1-12, but give me a 3-star offensive lineman from Wisconsin who works his ass off and stays after. Give me him over a 4 or 5-star guy from Dade or Broward that is just coasting. And people down here and all Canes fans are so enthralled by them because they're from the crib and of course they're going to be good. And we don't like, give me the guy that's going to make the culture better.
Exactly. Like, that's all that matters is what's between the ears, man. Honestly, it matters more than the measurables. It matters more than the stars. It matters more than where they're from. It all matters, like, what's between the ears and how hard, like, how dedicated you are to making Miami great.
Yeah.
Making yourself great and making the program great. And, you know, like, we do have some of those kids on the team. Like, dude, how can it not give you chills to watch Bubba Bolden with a split open nose, like barking on the sideline, you know, trying to fire everyone up? Like,
yeah,
that is inspiring, you know?
Dude, and probably a lot of the guys that have been on the team for a while probably were looking at, like, what's going on? Is he okay? Like, yeah. Why is he so mad?
Right? did he catch us not working after practice?
I just want players that don't, that. I don't know how we got started on this, but I don't want the guy anymore that is okay with losing. That is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Dude, they've become so complacent with mediocrity.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that last season that I didn't have any Twitter notoriety because because it was bad, dude. I mean, I agree with you. And to that point, I mean, a lot of it was conjecture and hyperbole, right? When you exaggerate. So a lot of it was hyperbole. But there are some tweets where I literally was like, kick everybody off the team and just bring in new guys that just try. Like, I don't care who it is. We could have, you know, we could have a big dude like 400 pounds playing quarterback. I don't care. As long as he will like lay his body on the line to win games, that's all I want. I don't care what the rest of the team looks like.
Give me a guy that is going to like I hope Blades is like spending every like after practice every day. I hope he is staying on Green Tree, like working and busting his ass off to win back that starting job. I hope it pissed him off and motivates him, not pisses him off and, well, I don't need this team.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know Blades from Adam, so I can't even guess, you know, whether he is or not. But I'm saying that, like, that is the difference between a winning attitude and a losing attitude, right? The winning attitude is like, oh, man, someone just beat me. Well, guess what? That's never going to happen again. Mm-hmm. Because I will take this into my own hands. It will never happen again. Right. And versus the attitude of like, oh, man, someone beat me out. Okay, well, I'm going to bounce for a little bit. I'm going to take a personal week. You know,
I don't get that mentality. I don't get it.
It's, well, you know what? Like, it's fine. Like, I won't judge anyone for having that mentality. But guess what? You probably shouldn't be playing Division I football. For the Miami Hurricanes, if that's your attitude.
I'll completely judge someone for having that mentality. Like, I don't like to lose. I hate losing. I'm a very, very competitive person, and I am in radio. Like, but if you're playing college football, you better hate to lose. I don't want people on my team that let's do a few more questions and then get the hell out of here.
I feel like we're going to be in a lot of trouble after this episode, man.
Why? Because we're honest?
Yeah, because people are going to be like, dude, don't disrespect South Florida.
you're not even from the hood. Like, you're not from the crib. Like, you don't know. I'm like, it's not even about that. Like,
it's not. It's, dude, I don't care where people are from. Like, just play hard, win games, and you are welcome to be a Hurricane in my book.
Yeah, welcome to the family.
Exactly. Okay. Let's see. Worst Canes alternate uniform in recent memory. We are going to have such different ones on this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love the uniform questions. What would you consider recent memory? Like 5-10 years?
Yeah. Let's go since Coker got fired, let's say that. So okay. Randy Shannon, cool. Al Golden, Mark Richt, Manny Diaz.
Okay. Easy. Smoke jerseys, Kaya, 2014. You already knew it was coming, baby.
Dude, those are so pretty though.
they looked like just they rolled around in an ashtray.
You mean like smoke?
Yeah. I hated those. What else did I hate? I hate a lot of I hate the all orange jerseys.
Okay. Like even the ones that we still do when we still do all orange, you don't like that?
Yes, I hate those.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Honestly, in retrospect, like I liked them at the time, but in retrospect, I'm not sure how I felt about like the black ones with the camo, and I'm not sure how I felt about the ice ones that we wore with Kaya our first year with Adidas.
Okay. Yeah, the last few years of Nike jerseys, I don't know like if they were just drunk or if they were like high and smoking and they're like, oh, this would be cool. They were awful.
It was me that designed them, actually. I loved them.
There was one, I think it was at Georgia Tech, and it was like a combined green and orange jersey, and it was awful.
Oh, that was bad.
That was terrible.
Yeah, so I have to say, I loved those sets. You know, when we'd wear like the all white and green, you know what I mean? With the like green helmet and the white tops with the green shoulders and the green pants or whatever. I actually really love that. But you're right though. When we mixed and matched and we looked like FAMU.
Yeah.
There was a game that we looked like FAMU, and I think we're talking about the same one. That was terrible. As much as I loved all of our uniform sets, like when we mixed and matched the orange and green, that was bad.
I am a lot of people know this about me. I'm very, very boring when it comes to jerseys. I like the Yankees. I like the Cowboys. Very classic jerseys. Yep. I like Penn State uniforms. I like Alabama uniforms. I don't like – the reason I hated Oregon growing up is because they would have – on if you play with them on NCAA, there's about 17,000 choices.
Yep.
Like who cares? Just wear our orange jersey and go play football.
Like BYU, dude. They have great uniforms.
You know what? I will say I love the royal blue jerseys.
Yeah. And I just like to mess with you, man.
Okay. How many more are there? Start with the question.
Yeah, let me find it real quick. That one might have been on your Twitter because I can't see it.
One last thing on the uniforms. I looked again at the new blackout jerseys. Not really a fan.
Really?
I they're okay, but like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what I'd say. I'd say that they are okay.
I don't like the jersey color. I don't like the orange on the jersey. It makes us look like a pumpkin or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I said before we put them out, I was like, man, I hope the one thing we change is the helmet. And it's the only thing we didn't change. Okay, so how about this? Class of 21, recruits to watch out for.
I mean, I think we already know it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we already know who is on that list. Obviously, cornerbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Mason Smith, 5-star defensive tackle out of Louisiana. He put Miami in his top 5. Leonard Taylor's really trying to bring him to Miami. I know that the guy who runs the Forza account, I think my brother was running it that day. He tweeted out the hashtag, the Mason Smith did you. I saw that. I'm like, oh, God. But I don't think we get him. I think he's going to go to Bama or LSU. Yeah. Jaden McBurrows is someone that Gabby talked about last Friday. He's a cornerback out of St. Thomas Aquinas. 3-star. He's committed to Michigan. So maybe we can flip him, especially since Michigan is falling apart. So, you got Jake Garcia. You have a few other cornerbacks. I'm trying to pull it up because I made a list. I'm getting back into my writing routine, so I took a few weeks off, man. It's draining.
Yeah, I think we both did, man. So this is our bounce back podcast. You know, we're shaking off the rust.
I love it.
Yeah, you made it down to Miami. Okay. You know, you got the new radio show, and
here are some names to know, at least for cornerback. You got Jaden McBurrows out of St. Thomas Aquinas. You have Markevious Brown from IMG. I think he is going to go to either Auburn or Virginia Tech. I'm not even impressed with him to begin with. You got Demaryius McGee. He's a Tennessee commit, but he is in Pensacola, so the Panhandle area. Khalil Anderson, another cornerback committed to Pitt, 3-star, and obviously Marvin Covington out of Texas as well. So, but besides that, Mason Smith. You got our boy Jake Garcia. The golden boy. And we may go after another offensive lineman. I would not be opposed to it, but if we don't finish this class with two cornerbacks, then I'm marching.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, I still remember because I was down on vacation in St. George in February of this year. I had talked to our guy Cliff that day about the cornerback situation. And then I came on the pod that week and I was like, dude, we are in trouble. We need like 3 or 4 corners in this class. And And then here we are, 9 months later?
I have a question for you. Would you rather sign 1 or 2 recruits for cornerback, or would you rather wait and see for people in the transfer portal at that position?
It's hard to say. Ideally, you sign a very talented kid that can contribute right away. One with a body that's ready to play Division I ball. That was kind of my biggest concern with Tim Burns before he was, not in the class anymore, was that he was not big enough to play early, in my opinion. Here's my concern, though, is we only have 3 cornerbacks with any experience, right? They're all juniors this year. Is that right?
Corey Couch is a redshirt. He might be a sophomore, actually.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But anyways, they're all eligible after next year for the draft, including Couch. Or just leave, right? My worry is to bring in a grad transfer who we get for 1 year, and then we have 3 or 4 dudes leave from corner.
Yeah.
Even 2 or 3. We are so royally screwed if we have 3 corners leave after next season, including a grad transfer. Like, dude, honestly, like me and you would, they'd have to throw me and you out there.
Gladly. You will not have a harder working player than I.
And you know, that's nothing against Dunson. It's nothing against like the other guys that we have back there. But the thing is, like, you need experience, you know? Like, I don't want to go into the 2022 season and be like, okay, Isaiah Dunson, you have taken like 46 snaps in your whole career. You're cornerback one. Like, go out there and lock down our best dude.
And I don't want to, like, have to resort to turning Avante Williams into a full-time cornerback when that's not his best position.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's out of reach at this point. I don't think it can happen. But ideally, I think the best thing that we could have done was sign some high-level corners like Jason Marshall, a kid that can play as a true freshman and get some experience. And you know what I mean? Because he could be a rotation corner next year.
He's good as hell.
Yeah, he is. So he's going to be
playing on Sundays in the future. Yeah,
he could be a rotation player next season. And then say like Blades and Ivy leave. Well, I mean, they'll be seniors, so they will leave, right? So Blades and Ivy leave after that, and even if we get Couch back, at least you're like, okay, well, I still feel decent because we have Dunson who has a little bit of experience, and we have Couch, and we have, you know, Jason Marshall coming back. So, right, do you get what I'm saying? Like, signing two kids that were ready to contribute as true freshmen is really what we needed to do.
Can I tell you what is going to fix that?
What?
A new cornerback coach.
Ooh.
It's time. I'm sorry. I love Mike Rump. I love what he did for Miami. That he won a ring and everything. But who are we fooling? Like, who are we kidding anymore?
Yeah.
It's time.
Well, welcome to the club, my friend.
You have converted me.
Yes. We needed more people.
I think people are starting to, like, even the big Rump supporters, they're starting to realize that.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, it's not that the cornerbacks are bad, but nothing is changing in recruiting. And if we have really talented players that are underachieving, Trajan Bandy shouldn't be resorting to signing with the Bengals practice squad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Reuniting with Al Golden. I don't think he was an Al Golden guy, but
no.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Pro Canes, right?
Yeah. Like, that shouldn't be. Why are Speaking we signing which, 4 and 5 star safeties and we can't get a soul on cornerback?
I bring it up every few weeks, but it's just so humorous to me. But what are the odds that we get Scott Patchen back as a grad transfer? He could play one more year.
For his 19th season. He has a family and children. And
come back, Pat. We need you.
Come get your medical degree.
Right? We need you. We need a little more Al Golden on this football team.
Ew. Ew, ew, ew. We need a sweaty guy on the sideline wearing a shirt and tie.
Yeah. Hey, he was our sweaty guy, Marsh.
Who do you think you are wearing a shirt and tie in Miami? Like, get out of here.
Yeah, he thought he was Jerry Sloan.
He thought he was Jerry Sloan. R.I.P., man.
Yeah.
Is he dead?
Yeah, he died.
Okay. All right. Are there any more questions?
No, let's just call it. We ranted. We're going to be in big trouble for this, so.
Oh, my last thing I wanted to ask you. Are you a Harry Potter fan? I know we've talked about this, but I finally finished them.
That's awesome. So I do. I like Harry Potter. I have read all of the books. I have seen all of the movies.
We talked about it with Gabby.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not like super into Harry Potter, but I like it. I enjoy me some Harry Potter.
Yeah. Finally finished the movie. So and I can.
What's the verdict?
Overhyped. I don't think they're as good as people say. I really liked Goblet of Fire. They could have just made the last two movies into one. That was stupid. A lot of slow moving parts. Like, one of the movies, it was just like basically a love story. I'm like, I don't want this. I want magic.
Yeah.
I want to see Harry on a broom.
I need some wizardry.
Yeah. Like, I feel like Voldemort could have played a bigger role in the movies. Yeah.
How did you feel about him not having a nose? A little strange.
When, bro, the funniest scene, I think it's in the last one, when Draco walks over to Voldemort's side and Voldemort gives him the most awkward hug I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Dude, okay, so here's the real question, though. How drop-dead gorgeous is Hermione in the last two movies?
She is so hot. And, you know, Ginny is really cute, too.
Yeah. Dude, when I saw, like, 7 Part 1, I was, like, talking about magic. I was spellbound. You know, when that movie ended, I was like, that is the greatest movie I've ever seen. And they're like, why? Like, what did you love about it? I was like, I don't know what happened. I've just been staring into Hermione's eyes for about 3 hours, and I do not want to leave this theater.
Yeah.
Like, I was so in love with Emma Watson after that movie.
And, you know, it's the accent, man. I love a British accent. I think it's beautiful.
Oh, you're speaking my language, man. If I wasn't I wasn't a married man, Marsh.
But Claude, my last thought on that, it's still nowhere near Lord of the Rings or Star Wars. Never. Agreed. Ever. Not even close.
Agreed. And, you know, I need to give Lord of the Rings another shot. I've seen all of the movies at least once. I've just had a hard time getting into the lore. I think that's actually one of my problems with Harry Potter. Is it like the people that are really into Harry Potter are such nerds and like such dweebs that, you know, they're like, oh my gosh. And yeah, it's just like
I know you really like looking deep into the stories like you do with Star Wars. Uh-huh. I think you really, really like the history around Lord of the Rings and the lore kind of stuff. Because I geek out on that.
Yeah, I'm sure I would. I just, for some reason, every time I try to rewatch Fellowship of the Ring, I always fall asleep. And it's not that I don't like it or that it's boring or whatever. It just happens. And so one of these days, I just need to figure it out.
We were having such a beautiful episode and happy. I was loving this, and then you just broke my heart, man.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying for whatever reason, I fall asleep during the Fellowship of the Ring. So, and it's like every time. Yeah. You know what's funny is when I was in high school, that happened with Anchorman. Like every single time I ever tried to watch Anchorman 1, I fell asleep. Even in class one time, I watched it on my iPod. You know, back when iPods were like a big brick in eighth grade. And I literally fell asleep on my binder watching Anchorman on my iPod.
So, wow, that's a hot take, honestly.
Yeah.
I've seen Anchorman like so many times, like it's not even enjoyable to me anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't ever seen it all the way through, and it's not enjoyable to me either, Marsh.
Good episode, man. It was good. It's just good to talk to you again.
It is, man. It is. It feels like, it feels like friends catching up.
First time.
I know, right? It's been,
okay. What else? I don't think we have anything else, but we will be back next week. Yeah. We have no Canes football, but we, just like we did in the off season, we are the best off season podcast, I think.
Absolutely.
Humble brag. But you know who we should get on again?
Who?
We need Kaya back on.
Yes. Brad, Bradley, if you're listening.
15.
15, yeah. So, yeah, make sure you guys check out Marsh's show, 4th and 20. That's on Onside Radio, correct, with Toast from the Orange Bowl Boys.
Yep, Monday at 6 a.m., bright and early.
Yep. And then, you know, just to plug my own thing going on, you know, Cane Gang Radio on Slam Radio is now a 2-hour show starting not next week because of Thanksgiving, but the following. So, Marsh, big ups, dude. I'm so pumped for you.
Hey, congrats to you, man. What a big week for us.
Yeah.
It felt like the culmination of a lot of things.
Dude, we have been... We're going to put out almost 100 episodes this year, man. And to think about how little sports happened to put out 100 episodes almost.
Yeah. And we never had a bad episode. I love it. Like it just felt good to be back on again. So,
you know, I feel very confident in saying that neither of us have ever spoken a word that was not perfectly true and accurate.
Yeah, right. I mean, we're the best.
Just kidding.
I mean, we're the best. Like,
we are.
We're the shit. Like,
yeah, humble brag.
Humble brag. Okay, we will be back early next week. We're going to get some good guests for you guys. So until then, stay safe. Don't, I mean, social distance, wear your mask, and we love you guys, and go Canes.
Go Canes.